The scripture lessons for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany come to us from Deuteronomy and Matthew and 1 Corinthians. And they talk about choices. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, we hear these words of Moses about choice. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you will obey the commandments of the Lord your God, that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. In the gospel lesson from Matthew 5, we find these words of Jesus about another choice. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of a great king. And do not swear by your head, you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your words be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. In the epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about a different kind of choice. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understand this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within it? So also no one comprehends what is truly God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. This is the word of the Lord. What's for dinner? Common question. Especially with all the food that we're used to. We have choices, we have options, we have opportunities to answer that question in just about any way we want to. In fact, sometimes if you ask that question too much at home, you hear, I'm tired of deciding what's for dinner. What do you want? Don't make me choose all the time. Making menu decisions can become tedious and sometimes puzzling work. But when it's an important occasion, then the choices become vital. A special event that calls for special choices, careful choices. Likes and dislikes, preparation time, and methods of serving, they all have to be considered. And whether it's a banquet for the boss's best customer, or that one special dinner for that one special person, those what's for dinner choices can become very particular, and not just about the food. And then think about all the other choices we're blessed to have. We choose our clothes out of fashion, certainly not necessity. That determines what we wear or don't. We choose our professions without family and cultural pressure to do what has always been done. After all, we come from a long line of. We have choices that much of the world does not have. We choose our entertainment, we choose our music, we choose our recreation to suit our own particular wants and personalities. I almost always pick my canoe over a baseball game. And there are other people who would give their eye teeth for World Series tickets. And the point of this is to say, to choose is to be alive, it's to be who we are, it's to be who we want to be. Nobody likes to be told, this is the way it is, you just take it or leave it. You have no choice in the matter. Or to look at that from the other side, how do you feel when you give someone a choice, whether it's what to eat or what not to eat or whatever, and they say, I don't care. Whenever my kids did that, we always just said, okay. And then they didn't get anything. They learned it about 2 weeks. Have to care what we choose, because to choose is to live. And that's exactly what that Old Testament lesson says. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose today that you and your descendants may live. That's part of the sermon title, What's for Dinner? But what's for life? That's the second part. And there's an example in choosing about life in that lesson from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is talking about a common practice of his day, taking an oath for emphasis, swearing. He's not talking about cursing here, taking the Lord's name in vain. He's talking about saying, I really mean it. Common in his day were such expressions as by heaven, by earth, by Jerusalem, by my head. A kind of an old-fashioned form of cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Anyway, Jesus calls his listeners to think about life. He says to take an oath in such a common, ordinary, everyday way was to presume that people frequently lie and don't tell the truth unless compelled by something or someone. And we all know that sometimes we do choose not to tell the truth. That's the lesson from the epistles where Paul says, what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? You may not want to admit it, but sometimes we all choose to lie. And Jesus says, think how foolish that is. We force ourselves, by choosing not to tell the truth, to use silly oaths when we are trying to tell the truth. So, he says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything else comes from evil. That anything more comes from the wrong choice of life. And so we go back to the scriptures in the Old Testament, and it says, well, here's the right choices. Obey the commandments of the Lord, walk in his ways, love the Lord your God, obey his voice, hold fast to him. Because choice is life, and life is choice, and it's urgent, says the lesson. For God wants definite decisions. We may not like that choice. Sometimes we like to whine and complain that God knows everything well, and he just better decide and work it all out, leave the details to him. But that's not the way it is. You see, God's already chosen. He created us by his power. He saved us through his Son. He sustained us with his Holy Spirit. And he says, all this is yours as you choose. And without that choice on our part, there's no real relationship to God. These life choices are urgent. I call upon heaven and earth, says Moses, to witness against you this day. I set before you life and death. Choose this day. You see, God honors us. He respects us by insisting that we respond personally by demanding that we choose. And it isn't just one choice. Not in life, not in a Christian life. For example, think about health. Health is not just diet. Health is exercise and safety and medical care and emotional as well as other kinds of physical considerations. There's mental health. That's an example from life. Let me give you a personal example from Christian life as an example, as a way of seeing this. When I lived in Holland, Michigan, I was asked to be a part of a health advisory committee for the public school system. Now, the first thing you have to know is when you make that choice, what's going on? Whenever you're asked to join a non-elected and appointed committee by people who are either elected or paid to do their job, it's because they want you to do something they don't want to do. Because it's too hot an issue. Or to get them in trouble. And so they have a special committee. Well, the State Board of Education insisted on a minimum health curriculum for the school, just the way it did for math and history and science. Now, the state told the town, you either meet these requirements, or we'll do it for you. Some of those requirements included reproductive health. Those are weasel words for sex education. And that meant that certain issues had to be addressed. Contraception, abortion, social disease, parental consent, all of that stuff. So they appointed a committee. Well, we had some choices to make. Hit or miss, optional approach. That's what we were doing, and it wasn't working. So we could do what had been done, blame the media, let it go with that, or we could choose to face the problem and develop a health curriculum from kindergarten through the 12th grade. Reproductive health had to be a natural, neither avoided nor overstressed part of that. And that committee decided to do a good job. I was proud to serve with them. They started in kindergarten. We're teaching children how to brush their teeth, how to respect their bodies, how to take care of them by brushing their teeth. And that part of the curriculum went all the way through a program which had senior boys and girls carrying a baby doll for a whole week, night and day, to realize that some of the choices they made had some very particular consequences. I don't know about the teeth brushing, but the carrying the baby doll worked pretty well. Some of the baby dolls got kidnapped, held for ransom. I think it was Snickers bars. Some of the baby dolls were programmed to cry in the middle of the night. Some of the baby dolls got lost, forgotten, but they carried them day and night for a week. And then they talked about the responsibilities of the child. A lot of choices were brought to the fore with that program, starting with brushing your teeth and ending up with caring for children. Not what you normally think about when you hear sex education or reproductive health. But one choice led to another and another and another, and that curriculum was a great success. And the point I'm trying to make is that choice is not an option. It's a duty.
And as Christians, we stand up and we are accountable for the choices that we make as Christians. And that's going to cause some peace and some ego, because everybody's not going to agree with us. In fact, we're not even going to agree with each other all the time. But it is our Christian duty to present mankind's relationship to God and his neighbor in such a way that people can't remain neutral. They can't refuse to choose. This past week, we saw an example of choice that is changing the world. It happened in Egypt. The people of Egypt chose nonviolence. They decided not to be violent, and they were not. And in 18 days, a repressive regime of 30 years fell. What important choices have begun there? And the world's watching. And you see, it doesn't take a lot of effort to learn to choose, because we do it all the time. From the easy to the difficult, the simple to the complicated, life is choice. We decide to go to work by setting the alarm and getting up and being there on time. We choose to have good health by eating a smart breakfast. We choose the kind of day we have by greeting our fellow workers with a smile. We choose to be good and tired by putting in a full day's work. And then we choose to leave work at work. Then we choose to watch the news, sometimes to complain, sometimes to inform ourselves so we know how to choose when it's time to vote. We choose to be who we are when we decide to help a neighbor who we know is never going to help us back. We choose to send a card or make a call that no one would miss if we didn't do it, but will surely appreciate it if we do. We choose to live, and we live to choose. Choice is life. It's urgent. It's a duty. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live, says the scriptures. Most of us are here today because our parents made a choice to bring us here when we were children. Today we choose to honor people who choose. Some choose to go to work and so support their families as responsible citizens. Some choose to offer themselves in service to others, like firefighters and police and emergency services personnel, healthcare workers and soldiers, and that list goes on and on and on to probably include along the line most of us most of the time. Choose to live because we live to choose. And we can honor God with all of those choices we make and honor ourselves for the righteous choices we and others make. We are here today in Jesus Christ because we have found life, which means that we have made a choice, and so we have a lot of other choices to make. What's for dinner? What's for life? And the answer to both questions is choice. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, compel us to take you at your word. Touch us with your spirit, we pray, and do not let us get away without being caught by your promises and your powerful joy. We ask this for our sake. We ask it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.